recalls those happy days of long ago.
Hello. You know, the closer we get to the end of these studies, the more sad I become. I'm afraid that I haven't done justice to Uncle Julius' discussions. I'm afraid that I have left unsaid something that should have been said, or that I have said something that would have been better unsaid. Or maybe a gesture, a smile, or something else hasn't been done just right. You know, I would be awfully sorry and terribly disappointed if all of you aren't in the kingdom of heaven. If any of you are missing, I will feel like it's my fault. No one could be more skeptical and even cynical about religion and salvation than I was before these sessions started. But God, through His Word, His Holy Spirit, and Uncle Julius, has convinced and convicted me. If I have not passed along those things to you, then I have failed in my duty. Friend, there is a God, a living, kind, and gracious God. He has set forth in His Word the truth about Himself and the way of salvation for us. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
It was love that sent a Savior to this world of sin and woe. It was love that left heaven's portals and came down to dwell below. It was love that stilled the waters on the stormy Galilee. Paid the ransom one dark day on Calvary. Love so divine, love so sublime, love that is deeper than any sea. Love
heads, O Lord, in reverence and humbleness. We pray that Thy sweet Spirit will fill our hearts and lives with Christian thoughts and actions. We pray that a special portion of Thy Spirit of truth may guide us tonight as we study the miracles of a new life in Thee, in the precious name of Jesus, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
So far in these discussions, we've discovered the Bible truths on almost all of the great doctrines of Christianity. Before taking up today's topic, we're going to review a bit. I'll ask questions. You two will answer by reading the text I've marked on this sheet of paper.
Fine.
You read the first one, Eddie.
All right. Let's go, Uncle Julius. We're ready.
The first question. Who wrote the Bible and why?
2 Timothy 3:13. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
How should we study the Bible?
Isaiah 28:10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little.
Is Jesus coming again?
John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
When is Jesus coming again?
Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Can we know when his coming is near?
Matthew 24, 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors.
In view of this, it is certainly all right for me, isn't it, to just wait around until I see all these things happen, then get ready to meet my Lord?
Matthew 24, 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
How can we get ready to meet our Lord?
Matthew 7:21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Does God really love us?
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
How should we return that love?
1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
If we really love God, we will try to please him. How can we please him?
1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
What is God's part in the plan of salvation?
Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
What is our part in the plan of salvation?
Acts 15:11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they.
Did Jesus keep the Sabbath?
Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
Should we also keep the Sabbath?
1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps.
Which day of the week is the Sabbath?
Exodus 20, 8, 9, and 10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
What will become of those who persist in sin?
Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death.
Upon what basis will we be judged in the courts of heaven?
Revelation 20:13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works.
Of ourselves we can do no good works. How then can we possibly be found worthy of eternal life in the courts above?
Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Does being justified by Christ mean that we can sin and still be saved?
Galatians 2:17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid.
How many of us are sinners?
Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
How is it possible for me, a sinner, to get to heaven?
Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
The only way, then, that I, a sinner, can get to heaven, where sin cannot enter, is to let Christ live in me. And that brings us to the topic for tonight.
You know, Uncle Julius, I think it's a mystery how Christ can live in us.
And did you notice that first clause of the text, I am crucified with Christ? To be crucified with Christ seems even more impossible than for Christ to live in us.
Both are miracles. Miracles without which we could not be saved. And the solution as to how they can be done is found in Galatians 3:27.
Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Baptism? Is baptism the subject for tonight?
Yes, Carl. And the text Nettie just read stated very plainly that as many of us as are baptized take on Christ, which is the only way Christ can live in us.
I didn't realize that baptism was that important.
Read Mark 16:16 and see how really important it is.
Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Notice that it said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Ah, but it did not say that those who are not baptized shall not be saved.
If it had said that, Carl, I would know that something is wrong somewhere.
How do you figure that?
Because the thief on the cross will be saved, and I'm sure he didn't come down off the cross and be baptized.
Well, then baptism isn't necessary to salvation.
Could the thief have come down from the cross and been baptized?
Of course not.
Can you be baptized?
Well, there's nothing stopping me.
Then the thief's circumstances and yours are entirely different, aren't they?
Yes.
Also, you know, or will know as soon as we get through with this study, that you should be baptized.
Just a minute, Uncle Julius. I'll admit that we should keep God's commandments, because to break one is to sin, and sin will in no wise enter into heaven.
Also, Carl, we should also keep the commandments because they're God's commandments and because we love God.
Yes, but baptism, Uncle Julius, is not one of his commandments. You'll have to admit that.
I'll gladly admit it, Carl.
I think that baptism is one of those things that, it may be well to do, a good influence on someone else, but not absolutely essential to my salvation, or anyone's for that matter.
You're trying to say that baptism is one of those things that it would be nice to do merely to prove that we love God?
Exactly. What do you think, Nettie?
I think Uncle Julius has you backed into a corner, Carl. I recognize the sign.
She's right, Carl. I purposely tried to get you to say that baptism, though not a command of God, is one of those things that it would be good to do.
Well, I'll freely admit that. But how's that backing me into a corner?
Read James 4:17 and you'll see.
James 4:17? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I guess you got me all right. So it is sin, even though it isn't one of the Ten Commandments?
It is, Carl. Jesus is our example. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Jesus was baptized by immersion as described in Mark 1, 9 and 10, and we should do as he did.
I'll read that. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him.
He certainly came up out of the water, therefore he must have been immersed.
The very word baptism means immersed. It comes from the root word bapto, meaning to cover with fluid.
I don't know why, but somehow I've had the impression that true baptism is by sprinkling.
As far as we know, Nettie, all baptisms in the Bible were by immersion. Take the eunuch, for instance, Acts 8, verses 36 to 39.
It's my turn. Acts 8, 36 to 39. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
John 3:23 records how he baptized many people by immersion.
And John also was baptizing in Aon near to Salem, because there was much water there, And they came and were baptized.
Actually, though, Uncle Julius, is it important how we are baptized? Does it make any difference if it's by immersion or sprinkling or what?
Well, Carl, if we think it's so unimportant to God, why do we make such an issue out of it? Why don't we just go ahead and be immersed and be done with it? That's certainly the safe thing to do, seeing as how that's the way Jesus was baptized.
Well, sprinkling is more convenient than immersion.
So is it sometimes convenient to swear, steal, talk about our neighbors, and not to keep the Sabbath holy and a lot of other things?
Well, I wasn't really making convenience an excuse, Uncle Julius. I was trying to bring out both sides of the argument.
It is well to do that, too. Then we'll know for sure wherever we believe, and no one can shake us in that belief.
That verse Carl just read where the eunuch said, "So here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Well, that indicates that they had been searching for water, enough water to be immersed in. So they surely thought baptism by immersion was the correct way.
If we are to be baptized at all, we should surely do it like Jesus did, by immersion.
Also, the very meaning of and reasons for baptism dictates immersion.
What do you mean, Uncle Julius?
Read Colossians 2:12 for your answer, Carl.
Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
We are baptized to show our belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus. One can symbolize that only by immersion.
Yes. One can't be buried by sprinkling, that's for sure.
And therein, being buried with Christ in baptism, is the mystery of being crucified with Christ. We can't possibly understand it, but it's so. It is an operation of God. Through burial in the water of baptism, we're buried with Christ. And when we come up out of the watery grave of baptism, we are risen with Christ.
Then baptism is really a commemoration of the death and resurrection of Jesus?
It is, Carl.
And the devil would have us believe that keeping Sunday commemorates the resurrection.
1 Peter 3:21 shows very clearly that baptism is an act commemorating the resurrection.
1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Notice this next text very carefully. It refers to both the mysteries of being crucified with Christ and Christ living in me. It's Romans 6:3.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
We are baptized into his death, crucified with him. Now go on with the next two verses.
Romans 6:4 and 5. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Like as Christ was raised up from the dead, so shall we be raised up from baptism, walking in newness of life. Christ living in us.
You know, I'm beginning to see just how important baptism really is.
It's still a mystery to me, though, how Christ can live in us.
It always will be, Nettie. We cannot possibly understand the power of God. We can only understand the symbol and the results of that power. I understand that if Christ lives in me, it must be because Christ and I are one. And that's exactly what 1 Corinthians 12:13 says.
1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free.
God here promises that if we will be baptized, we will be baptized by the Spirit into one body with Christ, and he will live his sinless life in us. We need only believe it, not understand it.
I believe it, all right.
So do I. I believe every word in the Bible.
It seems to me that one could call the water of baptism a grave. A grave where our sins are all buried.
Not only should our sins be buried there, Carl, but also our evil thoughts and habits, our selfish likes and dislikes, our worldly friendships and attachments. When we come forth from the watery grave of baptism, we come forth new beings into a new life. We come forth as sons and daughters in the family of heaven. Baptism is a birth into the family of God. Nettie, please read 1 John 3:2.
1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Jesus in John 3:3 told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus then goes on to explain this rebirth to Nicodemus. John 3, verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
You know, I've often laughed at people who talked about being born again.
So have I.
But I see now that it's possible. We do the symbolic act of baptism. God does the rebirth part for us and in us.
And once we are sons of God, Carl, once Christ lives in us, and once we are crucified with Christ, then we should live to the will of God. That very idea is expressed in 1 Peter 4:2.
1 Peter 4:2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God.
I think we should stop now and listen to one of your records, Nettie.
All right, Uncle Julius, I'll put it on.
After the record, we'll find out who should be baptized and under what conditions baptism is proper. And then we'll close today's discussion with a simple but beautiful story.
This record is I Surrender All by the King's Herald.
Thank you.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender now.
Julius, some people believe that babies should be baptized. Is such a belief in accordance with the Bible?
Let's let the Bible answer that. Read Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20.
Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, unto the end of the world.
Is it possible to teach babies anything?
Well, not in the sense it was talking about there, no.
Could a baby observe such things even if they could be taught?
No, of course not.
We've already read Mark 16:16, but read it again, please.
All right. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Is it possible for a baby to believe?
Not as one must believe to be saved, no.
Now read Acts 2:38.
Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Can babies repent?
Repent of what?
That's right. Even if they could repent, what have they done that needs repenting?
Babies are the sweetest and purest things in this world.
Certainly. There can be no doubt whatsoever that God has not ordained that babies, while they are babies, be baptized.
Would it do any harm to baptize them?
Would it do any good?
Well, I don't know. Would it?
Acts 2:38 that we just read gave a condition under which baptism would bring about the remission of sins through which the Holy Ghost would be given. What was that condition?
Repentance?
Right. The text said, repent and be baptized.
Then baptism doesn't do any good unless one has repented?
That's what it says. And there's another condition, too, to baptism. Remember in Acts 8, we read about Philip and the eunuch? The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And what was Philip's answer?
I have it right here. The first part of Acts 8:37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.
Would it do any good to be baptized unless one believed?
Well, no.
When Jesus requested baptism from John the Baptist, John drew back, thinking himself unworthy to baptize the Son of God. Jesus' answer is found in Matthew 3:15.
And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
The willingness to forsake sin and fulfill righteousness is therefore another condition of baptism. Jesus regarded baptism as a completing act in committing our lives fully to God. Jesus also taught that baptism symbolizes the new birth that admits us into his kingdom. John 3:5.
John 3:5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
It's very obvious that sprinkling and the practice of baptizing babies didn't originate in the Bible. Where did they come from, Uncle Julius?
Well, I have a statement here from page 266 of Faith of Our Fathers by Gibbons. How about reading it, Nettie?
All right. For several centuries after the establishment of Christianity, baptism was usually conferred by immersion. But since the 12th century, the practice of baptizing by infusion has prevailed in the Catholic Church, as the manner is attended with less inconvenience than baptism by immersion.
Oh, so inconvenience was the excuse for the change, huh?
And here's another statement from page 21 of Christian Institution.
I'll read it. For the first 13 centuries, the almost universal practice of baptism was that of which we read in the New Testament, and which is the very meaning of the word baptize, that those who were baptized were plunged, submerged, immersed into the water.
About 100 years after the death of John the Beloved, an argument arose between two Christian writers, Origen and Tertullian. In Origen's argument, he said that babies should be baptized because baptism was the washing away of sin, that babes have inherited the guilt of past sins, and therefore they must be baptized to be saved. In this way, he set aside the need for personal, conscious repentance before baptism, the very thing God says we need. Origen taught instead that the faith of the parents, or godparents, who sponsored the child's baptism was sufficient.
Uncle Julius, I want to be baptized.
Yes, so do I, Uncle Julius.
Please read again 1 Corinthians 12:13, first part only.
I will. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body.
The one body here referred to by Paul is the Church of Jesus Christ, his spiritual kingdom here on earth. Baptism is the door by which we enter into and become members of that body or church.
I understand.
So do I.
And I'm willing to join his church.
I want to join it.
You have repented? That's one of the requirements, you know.
We pray and repent every day, Uncle Julius, several times a day.
And you do believe?
We do.
We believe fully in the saving grace of Jesus.
You have faith?
Jesus is helping us to grow daily in faith.
You have a real desire to prove your sincerity and your love for Jesus by keeping his commandments?
I do.
And which church do you think is the true church?
Well, it has to be the one that believes fully in the Word of God.
Including baptism by immersion?
Including baptism by immersion.
And the Sabbath?
We know that Saturday is the right Sabbath, and, well, we want to keep it holy.
Like Philip said to the eunuch, I say to you, I see no reason why you can't be baptized. However, I do think it would be best to wait until the conclusion of these studies so you'll have covered and understand all the major doctrines of the Bible.
Oh, we'll gladly wait if that's what we should do, Uncle Julius.
Yes, because we want to know all the truth and be doers of the word and not hearers only.
We read that in the Bible the other day, in James 1:22.
Yes, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We don't want to deceive ourselves, Uncle Julius, which we would be doing if we believed that it was not necessary to be a doer of the commandments. So we are perfectly willing to follow Jesus all the way.
Bless you. And Jesus will bless you, too. You will live throughout all eternity, forever be with Jesus, the precious, wonderful Jesus who died for us, who liveth in us, and with whom we are crucified into a new, wondrous, sinless life. And now for a story that actually happened away over in darkest Africa. A missionary friend of mine and his wife were in Johannesburg one Sabbath and decided to go to church in Barberton, a suburb of Johannesburg. They found that many of the church members were natives of India. The Indian women are in the habit of wearing much jewelry, though the women of this church wore none at all. The number of ornaments and trinkets worn by the Indian woman indicates her financial and marital status. If the woman is beloved and the family is wealthy, she is literally covered with jewelry, even to her arms, legs, toes, and yes, even her nose. The more jewelry she wears, the more she can flaunt to the world the fact that she is dearly loved, a treasured wife, the first in her husband's heart. A widow wears no jewelry at all. After the church service that day, old Brother Bardway, an Asiatic Indian who was the church elder, asked the missionary and his wife home to dinner. They accepted, and during the afternoon, old Brother Bardway and his wife were persuaded to tell the story of their conversion.
All right, we tell you. It happened not long ago when Evangelist Stevenson come here and hold meeting. There not much else to do, so we go hear Evangelist Stevenson talk. My wife, she go to meeting with jewelry all over her. We interested in what Evangelist Stevenson say, so we go back next night. Go back many nights. Me believe what he say, and me become Christian. My wife, she believes too, but she not become Christian.
Me not take off jewelry. People think me widow, or me not loved anymore by husband. So me not become Christian.
Me want her to be Christian too. So me tell her the Lord, he come pretty quick, and she not ready for him.
But me not be Christian anyhow. Not want people think me widow.
I tell her that me want her to be ready to meet Lord, but I not force her to be Christian.
Me know Lord come quick, but me not become Christian anyhow.
Me go to baptism class. Soon they get ready, baptize me and lots other Indians. We go to church to be baptized, and me sit on front row with others.
Me sit in back row. Me have on all my jewelry. Me watch baptize. My husband, he last to be baptized. And pretty quick, Mr. Stevenson, he call out my husband's name, and he get up to be baptized. Me not stand it anymore. Me not want husband go to heaven without me. Me stand up and holler to wait. Wait!
Why, it's your wife, Brother Bardway.
Wait!
What she want?
Well, she's coming down front, running as fast as she can.
Wait. Me been praying. Maybe God answer prayer.
Wait, me be baptized too.
But you can't be, Mrs. Bardway. Not with all those trinkets and ornaments on.
Me take trinkets off. Help me take off. Yes. Me want go to heaven, too.
Me help you. God wonderful. God answer prayer.
My friends,